We'll be in the book of John. That's where our scripture reading is today. Pastor did an excellent job on teaching in the book of John. So we ought to have the answers right off the bat because we have already studied this. Like I said, as soon as Miss Rose gets back, this is our book. So like I said, we'll have a couple extras. I'll pass them out. They're yours. Put your name in them. Do with whatever you want to with them. But that's where our lessons over the next 9 weeks will come from. And when I first mentioned this to the pastor, you know, he is one who always has a question for us. So when I said, you know, here's what I want to teach on, and he says, questions Jesus asks. He said, doesn't get much better than that. There's Jesus asking us questions. So with that being said, let's go to the Lord for a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we just thank you again for this day, and what a wonderful day. Father, we thank you that we can gather in the name of Jesus Christ in a place that is safe, a place that is warm. Father, my heart truly goes out to those who are hiding, Lord, are scared to be found, Lord, but yet they persevere and they meet in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask your protection to be upon those who are worshiping the Most High God and in fear of their life. Father, it is truly a fact that goes on every day in this world. Father, I also pray that you would just have your way this morning, that we would just open up the Word of God and just talk about it, and Lord, just let it just flow over us. Father, again, be with each one, and Lord, for those who wants to be here today but can't because of illness or travel, Lord, bless their hearts this day also. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Basically, what I want to do as we go along, each study, and like I said, today our scripture verses will be taken from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. Now, what I may do here, depending on time, since we all have books, you know, the introduction, we will probably read that at home, but then whenever we turn into the scripture, it'll give us more time in God's word, because the questions that the author asks are generated from the scripture. So the introduction, today we'll do it because I apologize again. The books are coming. I just had them. I've got plenty, but they're on the kitchen table, I think. I just walked right by them. We'll go ahead and read this. Hopefully Miss Rose will get back here in a second. But lesson one, what do you want? It's a question today that's asked. From grandchildren to children to even adults, you know, what do you want? And it has a lot of meaning. It goes on to say, today a white flag appeared on the strip of grass between our sidewalk and the street. It marks where the city plans to plant a tree. The thing is, we opted out of the tree planting program. Two phone calls and an email to let the city know, and we still got the white flag. We are all for trees and for tree planting, but our front yard is already too shady, with a large maple overshadowing our flowers and shrubs. We wish the city had asked us, what do you want? Or in this case, what do you not want? When God incarnate asks, what do you want? The issues are more serious than whether we want a tree planted in the front yard. The question forces us to examine our deepest desires. Let that sink in. What do you want? Consider the question, what do you want out of life? How would you have answered that question 10 years ago? And how has your answer changed since then? If it has at all. Personal reflection is, to what extent do you feel you have received what you want out of life. The study scripture passage has no parallel in the other three Gospels, and that's what he's referring to as John chapter 1, 29 through 42. It reveals that the brothers, Andrew and Simon Peter, had already met Jesus before he specifically called them to be disciples. It also shows that Andrew was already a disciple of John the Baptist. Andrew's companion here is not named. He could be the Apostle John, who avoids naming himself throughout the gospel. Andrew lost no time in introducing Peter to Jesus. The two brothers must have continued their fishing business together until they decisively left their nets to follow Jesus after the miraculous catch of fish that's referenced in Mark 1, 16 through 18. What we'll do now, we'll go ahead and read the scripture in John 1, 29 through 42. The scripture says this. Now, I think the book, a lot of the questions out of the book, I think it's NIV. I will read this morning out of an old Scofield Bible, but it pretty much just all follows together. And then whenever we get to answering the questions, there are no wrong answers. Jesus is truly the answer. So as long as you keep your focus on Jesus Christ, there is no wrong answer. But anyway, we'll go ahead and read the subject matter this morning. Again, it's John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. The Bible says this. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, who is preferred before me, for he was before me. 31 says, And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bore witness that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? Or what do you want? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he saith, When Jesus beheld him, he saith, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone. Now, there's a lot in that. And as we get into these questions, remember, there's no wrong answer. It's how we would put ourselves in their place at the time. The first question is this: trace the main events of this passage. Pretty straightforward. All we've got is the scripture, so it's asking a question. Trace the main events of this passage. Anybody have anything? All right, John the Baptist points out Jesus, correct? Behold, the Lamb of God. And he'd already crossed paths with Jesus and had already baptized him. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God. And we also know by reading this, not only is the Baptist there, but two of his disciples are with him. So there's nothing more in this passage that it's asking that question about is what's happening in this passage. We're seeing John the Baptist confirming that he sees the Son of God, the true Lamb of God. And with him are two disciples. And it gets a little bit more into the questions here in a minute with these other two disciples. And it's just how being in the presence of Jesus Christ, put your mindset where they are. All of this has been told to them through the Old Testament up through. They are waiting truly on the Messiah, the true Lamb of God. And behold, right before their very eyes in this passage of Scripture, there's the Lamb of God, the true Lamb of God. Now, John, yes, go ahead. Yes, I think the day before is when Jesus was baptized, because he talked about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. I think they knew it. I think it's so much coming at them that they're trying to. This is Jesus Christ in person standing in front of them. And I think in a couple questions, I think it's God truly has a sense of humor. I mean, he really does. He loves us and he wants us to enjoy one another. He wants us to enjoy the fellowship. And I think God truly has a, because one of the questions coming up, I think this is how chaotic these couple days are. Remember in Scripture, I don't want to get, Rose says I'm the world's best at going down a rabbit hole. But right now, with Jesus Christ walking upon the earth, Satan and his characters, the demons, this is at the time, it's almost the crossroads. It's almost to the cross of where things really truly begin to happen. So you can imagine how just chaotic it truly is. So yes, they were there, and I think they will absolutely be amazed. One of the things I want to share with you about this Lamb of God is the Lamb, first of all, served as a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the people, especially during Passover. Remember how we have been taught that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. What happened in the Garden of Eden when they sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned? There was shedding of blood. Do you ever think about God made the animals first and then he made man? What did God do? He took and sacrificed the animals, took their skins, and made clothes for Adam and Eve. That covered up. It didn't take away, but it covered up the sins. But the true Lamb of God, during the Passover, when the blood of a spotless lamb was posted or painted on the doorpost, the angel of death passed by. That is what Jesus Christ is to humanity. He is truly the unblemished Lamb of God. So when John the Baptist, who had been taught and was teaching and telling about the one who was to come, behold, it's happening right in front of their eyes. The Lamb also fulfills Old Testament prophecy. Jesus was prophesied as the Lamb of God in Isaiah 53:7, and Isaiah 53:12, which reads, "Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." He did it for you and me. Me being the way Paul refers to himself, the chief of the sinners. Man, Paul, I want to argue that point with you, because there's no bigger sinner than this one standing right here in front of you. And it is only by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, by his grace and his mercy, and by the shedding of his innocent blood, that I am made worthy. That is the gospel. That is Jesus Christ. And he is now right here in front of these folks. 1 Corinthians 5:7 also says, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Behold, the Lamb of God," John the Baptist said. Question 2. Verse 36 tells us that Jesus was not walking towards John and the two disciples, but passing by them, perhaps at some distance. What might we conclude about the two disciples from the fact that they left John standing there and followed Jesus? We look back upon the cross. The cross is truly the crossroads of humanity. It is so important in all of the human time that folks before the cross looked toward the cross. We today look back at the cross. Here, the cross was about to happen. So we know that these two disciples of John the Baptist had been told time and time again that the Messiah was coming. It's happening right in front of their eyes. Why do you think they left? I honestly believe that the draw of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we were talking about how I think the spiritual battle is so strong right now at this moment in history. There's Jesus Christ. Here's Satan and his demons. What did Jesus do? He went through the countryside healing and tossing out demons out of condemned people. It was so strong at that point. I mean, here it is at the crossroads. I think they were so overwhelmed that here's Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Not only in their hearts, I think they believed this, but their teacher, John the Baptist, had been telling them and had lived his life as good as he could live it. I believe that with all my heart. People made fun of him. People persecuted him because of the way he lived. And his message was this: there's one coming, more stronger than I. He's coming. And now he's saying he is here. And I think it was just like, maybe just... you ever be somewhere like at a fair or something and something happens and you leave where your attention is right now, maybe the merry-go-round, but something's happening at the Ferris wheel and people are cheering and you just have a tendency to, what's going on over here? And I think that's what they did. I think the draw of being told that there's the Messiah was so strong, I think they just followed him. They just went. They were drawn toward him. If I had hair, it'd be standing up right now. I'm telling you a fact. I believe this with all my heart, that this was the place. And you know, we who have come together in Jesus Christ and have studied the Bible, we know how it ends. But at that moment in time, Satan thought, when Jesus went to the cross, that he had him. He had him. Nobody had ever come back from that grave. Nobody. Not the way that Jesus came back. Never, ever, ever. Put death in its rightful place. Gave us the ability to call upon his name and live forever. This was the crossroads of humanity. And I believe, without a shadow of doubt, that the spiritual battle that was happening right then, right there, was so strong. And I don't think it's ever been stronger in the history of mankind. Because what was about to take place? Jesus was about to become the spotless Lamb of God for God's people. Us. For us. I got to read this, and then we'll go on. Who decided to move this Sunday school time? I'm telling you, I'm joking. It's hard. The only thing that I can tell you for sure is that when John baptized Jesus, I think that probably was the first time that they ever crossed paths, other than when they were introduced in the womb. And what happened? He leapt for joy because Jesus was in his presence. And I believe that from what the Bible tells us and from what other people I've studied, John was a loner. He was out there amongst it. He didn't want to be caught up in the ways of the world. He was, Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. I believe that's what John the Baptist was doing. And then, right at this moment in time, remember what John said? Jesus wanted to be baptized. John knew who he was. However he knew it, I don't know. And I think before he was baptized, what he saw was when he baptized him, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and remained with Christ. But up until that point, but John looked at Jesus, and when Jesus asked him, he says, I want to be baptized. Now, I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. And the Baptist says, oh, wait a minute. You're the one that ought to baptize me. Christ says, no. I want to be baptized by you today, right here. So this is what's taking place. So he knew, and I think John, we're in the presence of Almighty God in the form of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the Spirit was alive and well. I mean, it truly was, things were happening. Question 3. When Jesus turned around and saw them, do you think they stopped or started walking faster toward him? And why? I think there was a crowd. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm talking a crowd. So there was things happening. People were moving. Things were shaking and a-baking is what was happening. Being in the presence of Jesus, I think they froze. I do. Because there is no wrong answer. This is what I think I would have done. I think they froze and they, when he turned and spoke to them, I think they were just amazed. I think of, remember when Martha and Mary were preparing their house to entertain Jesus? And Martha got upset because Mary, where was she at? At the feet of Jesus. Why would you not? Just be amazed. Just hear. Want to hear what this Son of God is actually saying. I think it was just absolutely amazement. Question 4. The first recorded words of Jesus in John's gospel are his question in verse 38. Does this question strike you as unexpected, a challenge, a natural question, or something else, and why? Verse 38 says, what seek ye, or what do you want? Can you imagine Jesus Christ at that moment in time turning around and asking you? You've heard, he's already doing things. You know, here's John the Baptist saying, I saw with mine own eyes the Spirit of God descending from heaven. Do you remember how they were astonished at this little fellow when he was teaching? Remember that? How just he was just... And then when his parents went back to find Jesus, I'm doing the will of my Father. How do you not know where I am? So I think that's... To be in the presence of Almighty God at that moment in time, I think it was just absolutely amazing. What does your heart today... Your heart, not my heart. This is the difference between all the religions in the world, before and to come. There's only one true religion, and that's Christianity, with Jesus Christ as the head of the church. To have a personal relationship with the Almighty God. What does your heart truly want? What do you want out of this personal walk, this personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I want to draw so close to Him that you can't see the difference between day and night between Him. That's what I want. I mean, here you are in front of God Almighty, and all you can come up with is, where are you staying? And that's as good as a response as I've ever heard. Right there. They didn't want to lose track of Him. That's excellent. But I'm thinking, are you hungry? Do you need anything? Where are you staying? Where are you staying? But that's a good answer. This is the beginning right here. They were beginning their journey with Jesus Christ. What do you want? Where are you staying? I would honestly think, maybe, I don't know. I would have just sat there and did the same thing, just probably not even, maybe, where are you staying, you know? Question 5, what possible answers might these disciples have given to Jesus' question? And that is, what do you want? What are you seeking? You know, we still today, in our mind, at least in my mind, and it's not a place where a lot of people want to go, but I don't know that I could come up with I think I would just... Did he just turn around and speak to me? The Son of God, the Messiah that's going to save the world, took time out of his busy day to ask me a question. But he's asking that question even today. Will you follow him? Will you follow him? Are you willing to teach us? You know, I would hope that I could generate, maybe after the absolute astonishment, Lord, will you teach me? Will you allow me to sit at your feet and listen to you teach? Will you take me along on this journey? And we'll see that further down the line. Yeah, Bruce?
Just to put, because we're looking at this as believers in Jesus.
2,000 years ahead of, yes.
I think, actually, my first question, are you really the Messiah?
And is that not, and it's truly, later on in the ministry, the Baptist was in prison. And what's he do? He sends disciples to say, are you really the one? Are you really the one? And I think through Jesus' actions and what he did and the love that he showed, and the teaching that he told, yes. And people begin to follow, and people begin to believe. Question 6. Oh boy. Although the two disciples didn't answer directly, how does their response serve as a form of answer? Verses 38 and 39. Question 6. Where are you staying?
Right? They call him Rabbi.
Oh, yeah, Rabbi. Yeah. Where are you staying? I'm reminded of Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I think they were trying to put on their best face, put their best foot forward. But yet, I think they were trembling in their sandals because they were in the presence of Almighty God. Like I said, these answers, it just helps you to stir your mind, to get you thinking about what you would say. There is no right or wrong. Question 7. When non-Christians begin to show interest in Christ, what are some things they may be looking for? We had a wonderful men's fellowship yesterday. And it's about grace and mercy. So what do you think non-Christians today need to see from us or need to hear from us? I think the basic foundation of what we as Christians should show non-Christians, even though it's hard, but Jesus said things is going to be hard, and that foundation is love. Without love, you have nothing to build on, absolutely nothing. And when you love people, people of different color, people of different background, people of different religion, when you show the love of Jesus Christ, that stirs them. What are they wanting from me? Why would they show me love? There is a peace that comes with knowing Jesus Christ that passes all earthly understanding. And people can't get that until they accept Jesus Christ for who He is. And that Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell in your body, to be with you forever. That is truly love. That is peace. I don't know how the world does it. I don't. As much stuff is going on today. And you know, as we look out, absolutely. Well, we looked out. We saw the things of the world. And some of us were drawn by the ways of the world. But that's darkness. And until the light of Jesus Christ comes into your life, you don't know that. So the thing that we have over non-Christians is we have the glorious gospel light of Jesus Christ. They don't have that. So how do we get them to see that? By love. By our actions. Not talking down. Not taking a Bible and beating people upside of the head. But just in the way that you do your everyday life. That's what non-Christians see. You know, everybody can be at each other's throats. But to show love in a time that people are at each other's throats, that the world is being thrown into chaos. If you turned on the news this morning, folks, it's one day closer than it was yesterday. I'll just say that. But boy, is it getting crazy. Any other questions? I'm out of time. I knew this would happen. Look over, and since this is the first one, get ready for next week by reading chapter 2. But look over the rest of these questions, and we will very fast just go over these questions next week and figure them out. We'll get more streamlined, and I apologize this morning because I was kind of behind my time with finding the books. So, like I said, take your time, look through the questions, jot down some answers, something that stirs. It takes you 5 minutes. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time, and Lord, we ask that you would be with us. Continue, Lord, to move our hearts and our minds, and Lord, that all glory would be yours. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.